enforcement and local communities to effectively manage forest and land fires. In February 2025, Indonesian government agencies involved in the anti-drug task force uncovered major drug syndicate networks across the country. Rama Sidki has the story.
Indonesian government ministries and agencies involved in the anti-drug task have uncovered drug syndicate networks across the country in February 2025. The operation led to simultaneous raids at 19 smuggling locations nationwide, resulting in the seizure of 1.2 tons of narcotics, including canopy, ecstasy, and cocaine, valued at around 1 trillion rupiahs or over $60 million. In a press conference on Monday, the head of the National Narcotics Agency, Martinus Hukom, explained that the operation relied on a combination of human and technology-based intelligence, focusing on 10 priority areas. The intelligence operation used both human and technological approaches, with teams deployed to 10 high-risk areas vulnerable to drug smuggling, including the waters of Sumatra, the Malacca Strait, the land borders of West and North Kalimantan, and the Western Seas of Sulawesi. Hukom also mentioned that ongoing intelligence operations target drug syndicates across borders and islands, as well as fugitives inside and outside the country. Coordinating Minister Budi Gunadi stated that the operation shows progress in making Indonesia's anti-drug efforts more effective and focused, with drug packages and vehicles shown as evidence.
The Maritime Security Agency proposes the creation of an Indonesian Coast Guard. Andi Ramdhani has the details.
Head of the Maritime Security Agency, Vice Admiral Irfansyah, proposed strengthening the agency to become the official Indonesian Coast Guard to ensure a more effective and complete maritime security system. He shared this proposal during a hearing with the Maritime Security Working Committee of Commission 1 at the Indonesian House of Representatives in Jakarta on Monday.
Sangatlah penting bagi Indonesia memiliki Indonesia Coast Guard.
It is crucial for Indonesia to have an Indonesian Coast Guard capable of carrying out all the duties of a universal Coast Guard in a comprehensive and concrete way. The agency must be strengthened to become the Indonesian Coast Guard so it can be more adaptive, responsive, and inclusive in ensuring security, safety, and law enforcement in Indonesian waters and areas of jurisdiction. Meanwhile, Head of Commission 1, Ahmad Heriawan, highlighted the importance of improving maritime security as part of national defense. He explained that the Maritime Security Agency has a key role in protecting Indonesia from maritime threats and crimes, and should be the leading agency in responding to maritime security violations. Andi Ramdhani reporting.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto led a limited meeting with several ministers of the Merah Putih or Red and White Cabinet at Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Monday. During the meeting, it was decided that the government would establish Merah Putih or Red and White Village Cooperative. Ranoff has the detail.
Coordinating Minister for Food Affairs Zulkifli Hasan stated that the Indonesia government will establish Red and White Village Cooperative, also known as Kopdes Merah Putih. Zulkifli explained that this cooperative will serve as a center for village economic activities, including storage and distribution of agricultural products.
Dibentuknya kooperasi.
The Red and White Village Cooperative will be established in 70,000 villages. This means that each village will have an economic activity center and a place to store and distribute agricultural products.
Pusat kegiatan ekonomi dan menampung hasil-hasil pertanian di desa itu.
Zulkifli also stated that the government will optimize the existing village fund to support the financing of this program. The government hopes this initiative will strengthen village economies, improve food distribution efficiency, and enhance the welfare of rural communities.
The Ministry of Agriculture and the Ministry of Manpower are collaborating to provide mechanics to support the implementation of modern agriculture, increase productivity, and realize food self-sufficiency. More information to be reported by Dora Pardede.
The Ministry of Agriculture and the Ministry of Manpower are collaborating to open 3 million paddy fields and build modern agricultural clusters to achieve food self-sufficiency and to make Indonesia the world food-borne. This was conveyed by Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman in a press conference after the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding with the Ministry of Manpower in Jakarta Monday. To foster land management, Amran said the Ministry of Agriculture and the Ministry of Manpower will collaborate, in which the Ministry of Manpower will deploy 300 to 500 instructors, while the land management will empower 27,000 millennial farmers who have registered at the Ministry of Agriculture.
Dimana kita tahu Pak Menteri Tenaga Kerja punya instruktur.
We know that the Minister of Manpower has quite a lot of instructors, maybe 300 to 500 people. We will collaborate later in the field where we have more than 27,000 millennial farmers registered so far. We will send approximately 3,600 equipment to the field. In total, we'll send at least 7,000 units to the field. This, of course, requires engineers, and this will be fulfilled by the Minister of Manpower.
Nah, ini tentu butuh mekanik, dan ini nanti diperlukan oleh Pak Menteri Tenaga Kerja.
Amran Sulaiman explained that the Ministry of Manpower's instructors will be placed in 5 priority provinces, namely South Papua, Sentra Kalimantan, South Kalimantan, West Kalimantan, and South Sumatra, to support agricultural development. Amran Sulaiman further explained that the collaboration between the Ministry of Agriculture and the Ministry of Manpower is expected to open new jobs in the agricultural sectors, thus helping to reduce unemployment and improve the welfare of people in the villages. Through this synergy, it is also expected it will not only increase farmers' income, but also reduce poverty and encourage populist economic growth, which in turn can increase gross domestic product. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
The Ministry of Trade collaborates with modern retailers to hold various programs to welcome Ramadan and Lebaran or Eid Festivity 2025. Dora Pardede has her details.
The Ministry of Trade, in collaboration with modern retailers, held various activity programs to support people's purchasing power in welcoming Ramadan and Lebaran or Eid Festivity 2025. This was conveyed by Minister of Trade Budi Santoso in a working meeting with Commission 6 of the House of Representatives in Jakarta Monday. Budi Santoso explained that one of the collaborative programs is Friday Mubar. According to Budi Santoso, the Friday Mubar program carried out from February 28 to March 28, 2025, provided shopping discounts for daily necessities.
Friday Mubarak is a collaboration with modern retailers in providing shopping discounts for daily necessities, especially cooking oil, sugar, and other staples, adjusted by each retailer. This activity will be held from February 28th until March
28th, 2025.
In addition to the Friday Mubarak program, Budi Santoso said another collaborative program is online shopping for local products in collaboration with e-commerce platforms, marketplaces, and online travel agents to align discount programs and local product campaigns during Ramadan until Eid al-Fitr. This activity is carried out from February 25 to April 3, 2025. Then there is also the Belanja di Indonesia Aja Lebaran or Just Shopping in Indonesia Activity Program, which collaborated with shopping centers and department stores to provide multi-product shopping discounts such as food and beverages, fashion, electronics, and so on to consumers. This activity will be held from March 14 to 30, 2025. Dora Paride for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
The European Union and Alliance du Développement strengthened support for sustainable ocean management in Indonesia. Ofra Regina has the details.
The French ambassador to Indonesia, Timur Leste and ASEAN, Fabian Penon, stressed the importance of cooperation in marine research, especially in the Indo-Pacific region. He spoke at the signing ceremony of agreements to support the for an evidence-based and sustainable ocean management program on Wednesday.
France, with its vast maritime territory, has developed quite important expertise in ocean research, particularly also in the Indo-Pacific, and our two governments are deciding that this is an area where we should do more together. We want to do it on a bilateral basis, we want to do it with the EU, but we also want to do it in the international framework, especially within UN fora.
This initiative supports the European Union and Agence Française du Développement's commitment to strengthening sustainable ocean management. The European Union has allocated 7 million euros grant to Agence Française du Développement to help fund the program, part of the Global Gateway Initiative to improve sustainable ocean governance in Indonesia.
The Indonesian government acts quickly to address flooding in Jakarta and Bekasi area. Here is Desi Anugranov with the full report.
The Indonesian government is responding quickly to the flood in Jakarta and Bekasi. The Ministry of Social Affairs, together with the National Disaster Management Agency, has sent disaster response team and provided help to affected residents. Minister of Social Affairs Saifullah Yusuf said that the ministry is focusing on delivering supplies and providing shelter.
Kementerian Sosial dalam menangani masalah bencana fokus pada
The Ministry of Social Affairs focuses on two main areas, supplies and shelters. Many volunteers from various organizations are also helping, but the Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency is leading the evacuation under the National Disaster Management Agency coordination. All teams are on the ground and trained personnel are working hard to evacuate people to shelters or self-managed evacuation sites.
The Ministry of Social Affairs has allocated nearly 3 billion rupiah to provide different type of help to support residents affected by the flood in Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi.
President Prabowo is pushing several government priority programs, one of which is the construction of public schools for poor and extremely poor families. More information will be reported by Dora Pardede.
President Prabowo Subianto held a meeting with the Red and White Cabinet at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday. He discussed several government programs, including improving education access, strengthening the village economy, and fight against corruption. Deputy Minister of Home Affairs Bima Arya said the President emphasized the importance of education for all Indonesian children, focusing on developing public and excellent schools.
He will build public schools, excellent schools, and improve educational facilities to each remote areas, as well as infrastructure for learning.
Meanwhile, Minister of Social Affairs Saifullah Yusuf said the President urged speeding up the construction of public schools. He encouraged working with local governments to open public schools quickly, especially for children from poor and extremely poor families. These schools will be boarding schools starting from elementary to vocational high school. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
The Financial Services Authority sees Danantara playing a strategic role in boosting the performance of state-owned enterprises and increasing investment to support national economic growth.
The Financial Services Authority has welcomed the launch of the investment management agency Danantara, recognizing its strategic role in enhancing the performance of state-owned enterprises. This was shared by Chairman of the Financial Services Authority Board of Commissioners, Mahendra Siregar, during a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday. Mahendra explained that Danantara is also seen as capable of developing a more comprehensive strategy, particularly in increasing investments from the funds it manages to support and drive national economic growth.
Badan Pengelola Investasi Danantara, BPI Danantara, yang kami pandang.
The Investment Management Agency Danantara is expected to play a strategic role in supporting the improved performance of the state-owned enterprises. It can implement a more comprehensive strategy, especially to increase investment from the funds it manages to strengthen and boost national economic growth.
Itu adalah juga untuk meningkatkan investasi dari dana yang dikelolanya untuk memperkuat dan meningkatkan pertumbuhan perekonomian nasional.
Mahendra Siregar emphasized that under Law Number 4 of 2023 on the Development and Strengthening of the Financial Sector, the Financial Services Authority will oversee the financial industry, including state-owned banks, ensuring good governance and proper risk management. The authority will also collaborate closely with the Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises and Danantara to achieve this goal. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
That's our highlights of the week, read by Ahmad Faisal.
my guts to say I don't love you like I loved you yesterday.
Listener, now let's join our interview with the theme World Wildlife Day, hosted by Steve, with Amir Hamidi, Director of Biodiversity Scientific Authority Secretariat, National Research and Innovation Agency.
Voice of Indonesia.
And it was his Voice of Indonesia. Listener, wildlife across the planet, well, it's so very diverse. In Indonesia, even in Indonesia, it is so diverse. And recently, we just discovered a new species right behind a mine, also industrial area. Imagine how rich our world if we have discovered all that wildlife. But however, there are, of course, some homework to do to protect and also to perform the research related to the wildlife itself. Especially in the World Wildlife Day in 2025, the theme is apparently wildlife conservation finance, investing in people and planet. And to talk about it, we are connected with the Director of Secretariat of Scientific Authority for Biodiversity at the National Research and Innovation Agency BRIN. We have Bapak Amir Hamidi. Hello, Pak Amir Hamidi.
Hello, good morning, Tiwan.
Good morning, too, sir. So I would like to know that as a researcher and also representation from your agency too, how do you see the Indonesian wildlife preservation and also research so far, especially in the facilities?
Yes, for the biodiversity is one of the main resources from Indonesia. I think we are one of the countries that has a hotspot. It means that although we have the reach on the biodiversity, we also have a problem with some declining some species in population, as well as the conservation status of some species. And in related to the regulation and also research, we in BRIN, for example, we develop a lot of facilities to support the research on the biodiversity, to support also finding new species. This is one of the activity for doing biodiversity conservation. Research is part of the conservation act, actually. So if we come back to the national regulations regarding protection of the species, which is government regulation number 7 in 1999, research is part of that. And if we concern regarding the research activity, although Indonesia has many islands, and we also reach on the biogeographical events. So we have our Sundaland area, we have Wallace area, we have Papuan region, which is all this terrestrial biodiversity is really different each other. And in Wallacean region, we have a reach on the endemicity, although the number of the population is probably not many, but they are rich on the endemicity. Those areas need to be explored to find new species. Why we find new species? By finding new species, we will know how to protect them. We will know how to use them in sustainable way. So this is one of the most challenge for Indonesia, as well as the many biodiversity country. The second one, not only research, but also regulation. Strengthen the regulations. Indonesia has many regulations regarding the biodiversity. However, implementations for protecting species for to combat illegal wildlife trade, for example, is still lack of that. So we need more strengthen the the law regarding
The legal enforcement
regarding the wildlife, as well as the strengthen the research and also funding regarding the finding new species and evaluating their conservation status.
Okay, and also I would like to know, in Indonesia, it is so Indonesia is so big, like you say, they have different groups. In percentage, how many percent of the species or the biodiversity that we already explored? Is it 70-80% or there are still so many percent that we can say still unknown until today, sir?
Yes. Well, our explorations start from the Dutch colonials, so it's been 200 years ago. However, for the terrestrial, probably we can reach 40% of area has been explored. However, if we talk about marine, it's real challenging because it's less than 40%. Even in Indonesia, for example, we have different level of the explorations levels. For example, Papua is one of the regions that still very low data on the biodiversity. Even probably study on the frogs and reptiles. For example, in the case of the frogs, probably in the number of the species will be double in next 10 years for Indonesia, since many technology has been introduced to study about the biodiversity. So I can imagine that now the number of frogs in Indonesia reach about 500, probably next 10 years will be reached like 1,000 species. So that's my prediction. So yeah, it's terrestrial, probably around less than 40% has been explored, and the most priority for the location that's unexplored is in Papua region, of course, some part of Sumatra and some part of the Kalimantan. And for marine, I think we less than 20% explore of our territory.
Okay, sir. If we talk about the marine exploration, everybody on the internet has the opinion that we know more about the outer space compared to our own sea, our own ocean, because of the, well, we know the physically it's very challenging, but on the land, sir, I would like to know, what is the main challenge that keeps the exploration still, like you said, 40-ish, something like that, sir? What are the main challenges that make us a little bit difficult to make it 50, 60, and 70%?
Okay. Yeah. Terrestrial is much easier compared to marine in exploration way. And however, in terrestrial, we have a strong challenge, yeah? For example, regarding the expansion of agriculture area. So if we see Indonesia, so the ring of fire, you know, many volcano around Sumatra and Java, that soil is very rich for very fertile. And it has been clear for agriculture many years ago, even since Dutch colony. So the speed of the expansion of agriculture and the speed of exploring the potential of biodiversity is kind of the challenging for us. So even the area that never been explored and suddenly it can be very fast change to the agriculture area and clearance, and we lost some spaces, of course, for the name of the production as well as agroforestry and all this activity. So the main challenge is deforestation is main challenge for us to save wildlife in Indonesia. And we still have many locations that has not been cleared yet. For example, in Papua, those areas need more protection as well as need more research on that to see how many potential, how many species are there, how many of them can be contribute to the human economic value as well as for the livelihood of many people.
Okay, so really, if you relate it to the current theme of the World Wildlife Day, it says about investing in the people and planet. But as we know that companies tend to choose an investment that brings them benefit and also profit, of course. So according to you, sir, how to make sure that these companies know that if they are investing in protecting the wildlife and also the biodiversity, what kind of benefits that we or even the nature can give them, according to you as a researcher, sir?
Yes, the main we have a strong regulation regarding that one. So every company or any company that clear the forest, which is conservation area which is untouchable for any economic expansion, as well as we have production forest. Those forests that has been decided as the production forest can be expansion as to the other economic value of the activities, and the company who run on that need to be the conserved special area. So every, for example, you know, oil palm plantations. Any company who run the oil palm plantation must conserve some area which is have high value on the conservation, and those area must be conserved and protect all the wildlife that also occur in that area. So that's kind of we call HACCP high conservation value area. So high conservation value area need to be always established to every company who expand area to be converted to the agroforestry, and high value conservation area also need to be evaluated to every year or every period to know how many species decline there, how many species incline there. So this kind of the regulations is always supposed to be strengthened by the exist regulation and evaluation, of course. And among the institution in our country, scientific authority, management authority, need to be strengthen their collaborations to evaluate this kind of the topic. And the second one is the evaluating on the regulation of protecting species. So regulation of the protecting species need to be regularly or periodically evaluated. For example, the last regulation regarding protected species in Indonesia was issued in 2018. So every 5 years need to be evaluated, and then we know how many species can be downlist, how many species can be listed in the protected list species. And need a science behind that to decide whether the populations information, the biological information, as well as the evaluation on the conservation status of the species. So those are things that need to be strengthened each other.
Okay. So on the government and also maybe the business players, they need to do the big things. But I would like to go down to the people, sir, because the discovery of the Barbudes Kelapa Nunggalensis, honestly, it is only 5 minutes away from my house. It's still in our neighborhood. And we only know that Kelapa Nunggal itself is an industrial area. We didn't know that they have a cave, and then we didn't know that there is something new that we can discover, like a new species or maybe some threatened animals, threatened plants that we never imagined is around us. So what would you like to tell the people?
How
can we also protect? What role that we can play, sir?
the main role for protection of species is the people itself. So if the people around the area where the species occur notice and realize there is a species that living together with them, even species that has no name, and then this is very unique. For example, you think about the Barbodes new species from Kelapa Nunggal. The species is endemic. They are in the subterranean area. They have evolve in the different way with other terrestrial species. And of course, regarding the change of the environment that support them is really really fragile for them to survive. And those messages need to be delivered to the people around them. And for example, if you use the water, and then the water can go down, if it is polluted, probably can be affected to the species under the subterranean area that living in that ecosystem. And also, sending the message is not easy for people. For example, if we find new species and then she said, so what if you have new species? Sometimes people say like that. And we have to know when species have been discovered, there are a lot of information need to be explored rather than finding new species. How they live there, the habitat, the reproductions, and as well as the populations. So if all those information can be provided, then we know what is the advantage of species from the human beings. I will have the for examples of Komodo dragon, for example. This is really, really famous species, yeah. Komodo dragon has been discovered in 1912, yeah. And it has been protected in 1915 by Dutch government at that time. But we don't know what the Komodo dragon has until in 2015, that the blood of Komodo dragon consists of some active material that probably this material can be used for the antibiotic because when Komodo dragon fighting each other, they never get infected by bacteria. So they have some material that really can be developed for material for antibacterial or antibiotic, something like that. So it has been almost 200 years after it has been discovered, or more than 100 years has been discovered. So yeah, finding new species is not simple. However, finding the utility of the new species is also need improvement from the perspective of science. So maybe message from the people is protect them, protect the species around them, as well as telling them there's some the existence of the species in the habitat is really needed because there's a part of the ecosystem that has contribution to the stability of that ecosystem. Once the stability of the ecosystem disturbed, then human being can be affected. So this kind of the message need to be delivered to the people around the area where the species has been found.
Yeah, this is very important because like in the West, there are so many people since 2010 were worrying because the bees are going extinct, something like that. And they also think, what about the fruits? What will help them? I mean, what will help the plant to bear the fruit because there's no bees? Helping the process, something like that. So if there is something around you, you got to know that it has a role that helps. Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and
24/7 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, finally, we would like to end our togetherness on Indonesia Today. I am Ahmad Faisal. See you next time and have a nice weekend.
Voice of Indonesia 的华语节目。本台播送来自印度尼西亚的新闻、信息和娱乐。您能每天通过短波频率33.25千赫和17.55千赫。本台的网站 www.voinews.id/mandarin 的流媒体直播以及 RRE Digital 应用程序收听本台的节目 Voice of Indonesia 从印度尼西亚面向世界。Voice of Indonesia 从印度尼西亚面向世界，听众朋友您好，我 Nova 祝你身体健康。在今天一个小时的华语节目，我想为您报道一些印度尼西亚的信息，其中这一事相关丹兰达拉实施综合投资的阐述，还有印度尼西亚流行歌曲，也有印度尼西亚美丽，是给您介绍印度尼西亚各种各样的土的。好吧，开始今天的节目，请各位收听新闻。Voice of Indonesia 从印度尼西亚面向世界现在报道新闻。印度尼西亚投资及下游产业兼国家投资管理局 Daya Anagata Nusantara 或是 Danantara 主任Roslan Roslani 强调，在投资管理中应用综合阐述，这是他在3月5日星期三会见 Prabowo Subianto 总统报告 Danantara 的初步开发活动后转达的信息。投资不能只注重利润，还必须对创造就业机会、减少进口、增加出口和国家竞争力产生的影响。罗山解释说，有一个投资委员会团队 来研究和分析这个问题，因为丹兰达拉也有阐述，尽管这些阐述确实不仅仅是回报方面的，但现有的阐述还包括创造就业机会、减少进口、增加出口，当然还有竞争力。此外，罗山罗斯兰尼对综合股票价格指数经济的下一月状况做出了回应。他强调，这种情况不仅出现在印尼，也出现在其他国家。不过，考虑到印度尼西亚强力的经济基本面，他乐观地认为市场状况将很快复苏。联合国妇女组织为印度尼西亚兼东盟联的代表乌兹苏人詹姆斯兰对印度尼西亚妇女在全球舞台上发挥的作用表示赞赏。3月5日在今年3月8日国际妇女日之际，与印度尼西亚之声播出的 Voice Talk 节目采访中，乌兹苏人詹姆斯兰表示，印度尼西亚女性领导人目前能够在全球舞台上看到自己的身影。对印度尼西亚来说，女性开始积极参与是一项重要成就，她们非常引人注目。印度尼西亚女性领导人在全球舞台上非常引人注目，我们希望看到更多的国家参与进来，并希望印度尼西亚各级政府能够进一步发展这种做法。当然，也希望印度尼西亚能在国际事务中拥有发言权。乌兹苏人詹姆斯兰还强调了印度尼西亚为将女性劳动力参与率提高 25% 所做的努力，并称赞这是一项非常积极的努力。他还赞扬了印度尼西亚的特别民航预算制度，称其非常好，并且提出建议。国际妇女节是致力于提高世界各地妇女地位的节目，该节目于1911年首次庆祝，并于1977年由联合国发起。印度尼西亚共和国广播电台 RRI 和私营公司 Nadabumi 于周三3月5日启动 Music Planner 计划，以推广印度尼西亚本土的音乐。该计划旨在支持音乐行业的中小微型企业，提供音乐商业教育，并在国家和国际层面推广当地音乐家的作品。在雅加达 RRI 中部举行的启动仪式上，印度尼西亚创意经济部长德古里夫吉哈沙称赞该计划是支持印度尼西亚音乐产业发展的战略一步。
Ekonomi kreatif kita ketahui bersama juga saat ini telah menjadi。
我们都知道，创意经济现在已经成为各国经济增长的新引擎，不仅在大国，而且在我们的周边国家，例如越南、泰国、马来西亚等等，也都纷纷迈入创意经济的。